So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Welcome all those online here with the show tonight. This is, as usual, simulcast for the conference call. We have a bunch of people here on the line, more people joining in. We had a few people came in here in the last minute. I welcome you all, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Good evening.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
This is Steve in West Palm Beach.
Good evening, Steve. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
Shirley from Seward.
I hear Shirley from Alaska. Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the...
Hello. Thank you.
And I heard another lady's voice in the background. Please repeat your name again.
Cleo. Cleo from...
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks, hi.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Uncle Terry from Phoenix.
Uncle, great to have you here again. Thank you so much for being here.
Uncle Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
That's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss. Hi, Uncle Terry. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn from Flagstaff. And I hear Wynn. Hello, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Hey, Rick from Iowa City.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello.
Being here. Hey, Wynn.
You can hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Marilyn and Flagstaff, I have not forgotten you. I think of you once a week. Something is going to happen.
Well, that's nice. Okay.
All right.
Hey, now, Wynn, guess who is here at the show tonight? He found you on YouTube, and you worked at the fairs with him. It is Mike from Las Vegas.
I know. I got an email from him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said, man, this Wynn has turned into a weirder guy than I even remembered him as.
All right. I'm going to turn the things off.
Now, we don't happen to have Terry Brown here, do we?
All right. So I want to give those people who came in here the last minute still a chance. Please say your name and location.
Ed Gentry, North Carolina.
Welcome to the call.
Hey, how many of you listened to Monday's call?
I did.
I missed it.
How many of you didn't listen to Monday's call? What's your that?
I missed it. I was at the doctor's. Sorry.
This is Cecil. I didn't get in it.
Okay.
I missed it.
I highly recommend it. It was a very unusual call, and I got more emails from that call than any show we've done recently, okay? And it's like one of those things that is, occasionally we do shockers. It's a real shocker. It's like, oh, my God, because we're putting together pieces of stuff that no one has ever put it all together. I mean, there's little pieces here, pieces there, but getting the whole picture from the creation of the universe to how we got here, it's like no one's ever done that. at least not having access. Well, I tell people, don't believe we're talking to the Elohim. You don't have to believe it. You shouldn't believe it. You should believe it by listening to these calls and feeling the energy, feeling the consistency, feeling the quality in their answers. And is Mike there? Mike Cushing?
Absolutely.
Mike, it is great to have you here.
I missed the Monday call. What, do you got it in archived on your website or something?
It's in an archive, the spiritchannel.net, okay? In fact,
hello?
We have like a thousand calls in the archive. And they're all pretty amazing, okay? so.
Vin and Uncle Terry is also with us.
Uncle Terry. Yeah. Terry Friedman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Shall I ask you a question tonight?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello.
And who is that? Is Terry Brown here?
Charmin.
No, she's not.
Uh-oh. Is Jim here?
Negative.
You're going to have to turn on the light, man.
I'm going to have to channel. Well, I don't channel, thank goodness. They use me to be the irreverent front man. so that then everyone feels like it's not too, it doesn't go too exalted, okay?
Deflect all the criticism from them.
Yeah. Well,
hello.
You know.
Hello.
You know.
Is there a topic in line?
Do I have a topic in line?
Question, Mike.
Question. Well, I'll think of some. Terry will be here. Okay, I'm sure she will. It's like she is. You know. I'll tell you historically. When somebody has this kind of connection like this, usually they don't know what to do with it, and they end up starting a religion, okay? And then it goes sour, all right? It doesn't mean all religions are sour, but I shouldn't say sour, not the best word. It usually gets
corrupted.
Corrupted or compromised. Compromised because there's usually some core of truth in it all still. And what happens is people end up being in positions of power or positions of needing to earn a living. And there's this thing that everyone is interested in. And that's why then they start using it for that purpose. And it loses its essence. It's a very difficult situation. I mean, it's difficult for me because I didn't know how this was going to work when it first started. And, you know, I said, well, you know, everybody is interested in this. This is something everybody wants to know. And I said, this is going to be very successful. But then I found I couldn't charge for it. And or I guess I could, but it wouldn't be. I mean, obviously I had free will choice, but I discovered that people have to discover it, and they don't even know. It's not like a commodity. You can't tell them, charge $20 and you're going to get this. They had to discover it. It took a period of months, and then the people that discovered it, it became. Really, I should have started the tape recorder. Shouldn't have I?
I don't know yet.
Did you start it? No.
No.
You're right.
Yeah.
November 12th.
I'm not going to read. Terry isn't here yet.
12th
right?
of November?
Yep. Yes, he is. No, this is Jim. Oh, yeah.
Hi, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Jim.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. When Terry's coming right on now. We had a little problem in connection. There she is.
I'm here.
All right. Now, Jim, you're on the moderator line.
Okay.
Which is okay.
Oh.
That's okay.
I'm on the moderator line. I was lying.
You are good, Terry, but also Jim is on the moderator line. No problem. I'll mute you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for being here, Terry. How are you?
Jim.
I'm good,
Jim,
thank
just be
you.
Careful.
All right. Yes, Wim.
Don't snore. Okay?
Don't snore.
Yeah.
I only snore when you're talking.
That's what I mean. We're doing a call now, and you're on the moderator line, so we'll hear you. Okay.
He couldn't get on, okay. And all I've got is the moderator pin, so I'll give him that.
Yes, but I tried 172.746 pound, and I couldn't get through.
That's
things
right.
are good.
Maybe we'll get.
All right, I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to. I'm going to hang
no,
up
no,
and try
okay.
the one.
Hey, Jim.
That's the wrong number. That was the wrong code.
I won't snore.
Jim, that was the wrong code for Wednesday.
That's the wrong code.
897676.
Your own pin.
Yeah, Jim, you have the wrong code for tonight, but that's okay.
All right.
Those of you who started the tape recorder.
Yeah, I'm going to mute the lines. Hold on.
All callers are muted.
All right, go ahead, Vin.
November 2014. And yay, team, the Earth has made it another day, another week, another year, and we're still here. And hopefully that's going to continue for a while. And this is our call where we ask questions to our sources. And an old friend of mine discovered me. I haven't seen him for years. Discovered me on the YouTube. Let me see if I see him here.
You see, I can unmute him. You want
on the board? Unmute him. Just to increase the veracity of some of the crazy stories I tell you. It's good to sometimes have a blast from the past. And Mike, you know, there was a time when I was really, really, really broke. And I don't even remember how I met Mike, but he had this space and he said, you can sell something like in the corner of my space. And it totally changed my life at the time because we did really well. Are you there, Mike?
Yep.
Yeah. And Mike, you didn't think I was weird, did you?
What's that?
You didn't think I was weird in those days, did you?
No, I just, the name was amazing to me. I said, this guy's name is Winfrey. I said, that's like, how does anybody have a name like that? No, you were doing a Sprint thing or something in a house somewhere. It was a multi-level deal, and I came there and I watched you, and I thought, wow. And then we just, later on, we started doing shows, or you were doing shows, I was doing shows, and we kept bumping into each other.
Right, right. And there was always this really, really good feeling between us. But I looked up to you because you always made way more money than I did, okay?
Yeah, I was on a roll.
Right. So, Mike, and by the way, that very first time we did something and I took a little piece of your booth, Terry Brown was there, okay?
And really?
She doesn't remember you, but if you listen to my story on Alfred Weber, that's the one I was on, Alfred Weber, okay?
Yes,
and that's on YouTube. If you look up Winfrey and Alfred, A-L-F-R-E-D, Weber, W-E-B-R-E, it'll come up, and Alfred is extremely intelligent, an astute guy, and he said that was the longest YouTube video he ever did because he was so fascinated by everything, he didn't want it to stop. And there was, I was on Skype, and it didn't come out right. I spent all this time setting up a studio. I bought a plant next to me, aimed a camera at me, and it was only, for some reason, it came out where I'm half. You only see half of me. But the interview was good, so he put it up. You know, that was it. And so I don't know, Mike probably, did you listen to the whole interview, Mike?
Oh, yes, I did.
I mean, it was a really good interview. And it's probably the only recent interview where I'm on video, and you can see half of me at least. And if you remember on the video, I went through girlfriend one and girlfriend two. Remember that?
Yeah.
So Terry Now, I want you guys to know it's politically incorrect in some circles to use the word girlfriend, okay? And it's more politically correct to say personal relationship, okay? So I might convert from this point on. Terry was personal relationship number two. But we never had any experience of channeling until 25 years later, I think, you know? And it was all a big surprise. I wasn't looking for it. And if you recall on that video, I talked about Terry being, you know, when I asked them if Terry was ever anybody famous, they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena, and who I never heard of. And I did a search on St. Catherine, and I find the story of this woman that used to go into a local church in Siena, Italy, and she would be channeling, and they thought God was speaking to them through her, and she became very famous. There was a book published called St. Catherine's Dialogues with God. And, of course, I'd known Terry for a long time, and I knew she was strange, okay? So was I, but we never had any of this experience. And then suddenly she started channeling, and when they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena, she was the spitting image of St. Catherine. And I had written the book on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and David Wilcock was the spitting image of Edgar Cayce. I knew people look like their past lives, and so your soul carries your DNA. So when you come back again, the DNA will program the soul of the new fetus. And so when I was still trying to make myself believe this was real, and I saw that picture of Terry and St. Catherine, it was just mind-blowing to the extreme, okay? And in many ways, at that time, it was... I actually was a little scared for it to be real, okay? And it's because it was, what do I do if this is real? How do you work this? How do you put it out into the world? You know? I mean, do I stand on the corner and wave a sign and say, sinners repent? You know? I said, I hope I don't have to walk on water. I remember thinking that. It's been a progression that has been gradual and careful, and you know, and now hundreds of people are listening, and I have learned to just make pretend that I just show up and it happens. I don't have to make it. How would you say it? I don't know what the right word is. The less seriously I take it, because I do take it seriously, so it's hard to put it into words, but the less serious it becomes, the more easy it is for people to assimilate it. Or maybe to say, in other words, I didn't really want to be out there. I just wanted to write books. And then I realized it was too crazy. Nobody believed it. So unless I told my story in first person, people then were curious and would check it out. And believe me, the first people I called up and said, you want to have me on your radio show? Let me tell you what happened to me. No one would believe me. I mean, it was too far out. But in any case, Terry, you there? Hello, Terry. Terry Brown.
Yes, I'm here, yes.
You're there. Wonderful.
I am, I'm here, yeah.
And Terry Friedman's here, right?
Oh, good.
Okay. And, hi, is Terry unmuted?
He is muted currently. Hold on 1 second. Uncle Terry.
Yes, I'm here, Wynn.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
So, you know, everybody knows this, but my friend Mike is here, okay? And he doesn't know it. He's like, he just discovered me and checking us out. Mike, we have got the most amazing people who have shown up in my group. And all of it is, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it is available to be told. But, you know, there's always been a mystery about Jesus, unless you're a Christian. And then there's no mystery, but it's all based on faith. Most Christians, you know, but there's a tremendous amount of truth. And I recognized this years ago in many of the things Jesus said. I understood them, and I wasn't a Christian in any official sense of the term, but I was studying all kinds of metaphysical things. And, of course, I studied Jesus. And one of the people that's, I won't say in our group. This is not a group. It's just a bunch of people showing up. There's nothing to belong to, nothing to buy, nothing to defer your own personal power to, no teachings to follow. It's just people showing up. But the incredible thing about this call is these sources, these group souls that are at the beginning of the universe, they say that they're here. They're showing up. And not just verbally, but in a way that people can feel their energy, particularly our Sunday call. It's just, you have to experience it, because I can't put it into words, because most people have never even had the experience of what it feels like. All I can say is there's something that happens that you suddenly feel very expanded, you feel connected, and it's not on an emotional level. It's like the energy around your space gets bigger, and little miracles happen for many people. And so, in the course of doing all this, I ran into a gentleman by the name of Terry Friedman. I met him at an expo. We got into an argument, and then we got to know each other. It turns out Terry wrote a book called The Man Who Walked with Jesus, and he has direct recollections of being Matthew, who was the chief scribe of the Bible, wrote the Gospel, the book of Matthew, and Jesus contacted him. Now, let me just say, don't believe any of this, okay? I'm saying Jesus contacted him. At this point, I think it's true, but it took me a while to believe it, okay? But Jesus contacted him and said, you know, I'd like you to write a new version of what happened. He didn't say, not to rewrite the Bible, but to rewrite an eyewitness account of what it was like to be around Jesus when he was walking around, and that Jesus, and how it really was, not with any of the distortions of the Bible. And Terry now has recall of that. And he wrote a book called The Man Who Walked with Jesus, which he used to be a distinguished medical doctor, and he came out with his book, and he lost a lot of his credibility as a doctor. He's an alternative medical doctor. So, you know, it's like, okay, listen, guys, would you move, Mike, please?
But Terry, it's okay, right?
But in any case, nobody's supposed to believe any of this is true. I mean, I don't care. We could be the biggest bunch of wackos in the world. But the point is, there are so many things, not just me saying this, Mike just saying, believe that Terry was Matthew, but there's so many points of evidence that we've gone through on other calls. Points of evidence that the Elohim is real, and that the way the energy flows in, everything is congruent. It all kind of fits together. But somebody has to watch it for a while. Most people do. Some people are like right on the verge. They come on the calls. They feel the energy immediately. They start seeing pink clouds all around them. But not everybody. Most people don't have that experience. But some people do. But I'm having that experience. Jerry is having that experience. Heise is having that experience. I think Heise is having that experience. I never asked them. So sure. In any case, it's like, where does this energy come from? And some people are going to say, when it's hypnotizing people, okay? Or when it was another thing is, it's the power of suggestion, okay? So you can try all those things and see if you think that's it. And somehow we're doing that. But then you have the little miracles, the people that look like people from past lives. It's coincidence. I mean, I watch this. I tell the story to people, and no matter what you say, they say, coincidence is the, you know, suggestion. And I understand why they do that. I do. It's because this is like such a big, big paradigm shift that it's like to really get into it, it's going to change your paradigm. And a lot of people don't want to change their paradigm. And they don't know that. They're just, you know, their security is inside their paradigm, okay? And so it's like, who wants to hear this stuff that's going to, you know, all your life you've brought up a certain way. You've had a religion. You think it works that way. And, you know, it's much easier to dismiss all of this stuff as demonic or something than take a look at it. I mean, I went through that. I said, how do I know this is positive? It took me a long time to believe it, you know? And, stop talking, right? 6:25. Okay, well, you know what? I'm not really just talking here. We got some, I gave an invitation to a lot of people to send some questions in, and they're doing it last minute, some new people. And I'm going to give those new people priority. Let's see. There's a lady here, Anne, in Bel Air, Maryland. Anne, you're not new, but I don't know if you've asked the question, but Anne, well, you are. I've got your address. I was going to say I don't know your city. They ask for your city before they answer a question. All right, let's see here. Bel Air, Maryland. Okay, we're going to start. And I know Terry's not ready. You're not ready, are you, Terry? Oh, no, I'm going to ask Terry Friedman a question. I'm saying, no, sorry. Terry, are you there? Terry Friedman.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm
here, Wynn.
Tell me, I'm just going to ask a question, okay? Tell me, what was the most memorable experience in your memory now of being on the road with Jesus?
When there were so many, it's difficult to just point one out. There were so many, many.
Okay, I'll ask another question, okay?
Okay.
When you first ran off with Jesus, you ran off because he had a huge amount of charisma, and you felt this really great energy around him, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you didn't know what was going to happen. When you're walking around with him, what was the very first miracle, and how did you respond to it?
Well,
is that an okay question?
Yeah, that's okay. I'll tell you one of the first ones I remembered, and that was when he came into a town. Normally, his reputation preceded him. Consequently, when he came into town, a number of people met him on the road to come to the town, and the children heard about his reputation from their parents. And in this one case, a child was running behind and trying to stay up with him and fell on the road and badly cut her knee. And he simply turned around, took her knee, held it. It was bleeding badly, so he held it in his hands for a few minutes. And when he took his hands away, it's as if there had never been an injury. I mean, it was, in minutes, it was 100% cured. I use the word cure, healed. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first instances that I noted that impressed me.
Was that story, my brothers,
the other disciples, and there were only five.
I wanted to ask you, was that story in your book?
Yeah.
That wasn't in your book, was it?
Yes, it was.
But it wasn't in the Bible, was it?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I don't think so.
I mean,
okay.
And then he told me, he says, the reason I want you to write a story about my life is because there is no way to define the things I taught or my life in the Bible because there just isn't room. But you write a book and focus on the things I said and the things that happened to me, and a lot more people will be apprised to what I did, what I was trying to teach.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
The reason I wrote the book, because he asked me, please, I want further confirmation in your writings. You be my scribe, as you were at the time of Matthew. You be my scribe. And he called me Matthai, which is the Aramaic pronunciation. And we want to define more of the things that happened and realize that I was a man, but I was able to do unusual things. And, of course, the miracles that he performed impressed people around me and got their attention. But he said to me many times, don't worry about the miracles. They're not of importance. It's what you say and what you teach and what you do other than the miracles that count. The miracles are only to get somebody's attention. But that is our main purpose. Our main purpose is to teach. So that was his attitude. Don't worry about the miracles. They're not important.
Okay. All right. Great.
But of course, that got everybody's attention, including mine.
Well, yeah, you need to get the door open. And that was a good one, right?
Yeah.
You know, recently, I mean, the Ra Group, the Elohim group, say they don't like to do miracles. See, things happen in our group all the time. And usually, not always, but usually they don't, you know, it's like, it looks like it could have been a coincidence. It looked like, you know, it didn't necessarily come from them. And, you know, you have to, you know, use your own. Miracles cause people to give up their power. And they said they don't want to do that. They said their best mode of making connection in this period of time is to make people curious. And
right.
In the curiosity, people reach back. And in the reaching back, there's a, you know, exploration of the work. And then people get, a, you know, make a connection with it. Rather, miracle causes people to say, please heal me, defer me, give me money, give me this, give me that. You know, they want some kind of phenomena. And oftentimes, even I, keep my muted when I say this, okay? Even I, when I was first doing these sessions, we didn't have any money, and I said, this is really important, and they predicted a newspaper headline, and I said, couldn't you help me a little with the horse races? They said, it would send me back to patterns of previous lifetimes, and it wouldn't be a good idea. And, you know, in retrospect, I see that. Because if I could use them to make money, we'd have thousands of people on this line. And that's what everybody would want. And it's like, but they will create a synchronicity where something comes together that makes money. But it looks like, you know, happenstance. It looks like a synchronicity. And they participate in it, you know?
When he told me a number of times, Matai, you can do the same things I can do, even more. But he said, don't be focused on that. That is not where our behavior should be. That is not mm-hmm. the lesson we're teaching. So don't get into that. Don't worry about the miracles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though now, he knew I could do it.
Let me go through the questions tonight, okay? Just, we're running out of time. And the first, let me make sure I hear Terry. Terry, you're there, right?
Yes, I'm here, but you need to call in the invocation.
I'm going to do that. Right.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you're there first. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be lifted to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us on this line, all of us on the internet, and all of us listening to the replays. Since there's no time, it doesn't matter if you listen to this later. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra An, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We welcome each and every one of you on the line tonight and hope that we can make a contribution to your welfare and your future and your knowledge. Do you have questions?
Yeah, first question is from Marilyn Hausman in Pennsylvania. I have an unusual reaction to almost all invasive Western drugs. I experience the opposite or no effect from them, or I get extremely ill from them. Almost all medications used in a hospital for surgery and pain don't work on me. So I have a fear of going to the hospital. Do you know why I have this reaction?
Thank you. You are very sensitive. And these, for most individuals, these do have a deleterious effect, as you can tell when they list the side effects of the drugs. You have like a short circuit to the side effects. And most of the people, it is a short-term stopgap way of eliminating symptoms. Now, there are some things which a hospital uses in surgery which are very good, and they are the anesthetic that can help you tolerate the pain better. You need to find a practitioner that can understand and get your problem and will be able to talk sense with you and make sense to you. And before you trust their drugs, you need to have an expert that can analyze what it is that you are having a problem with. And we also wish to ask Terry Friedman for any expertise he may have along these lines, as he is a medical doctor.
Thank you. Yes, I find that a lot of people are extremely sensitive to the drugs. They don't seem to set well with them. One of the issues at times is a dysfunction of the action of the liver, which neutralizes most drugs. And they may have a lazy liver, I would call it, something like that. And that would definitely affect your response to many drugs. You're unable to process them like average person can be. That's why I look at medicine as not being all fits for one, but that each person is an individual when I deal with them, when I treat them.
Thank you, Terry. And those of you that think you want to be treated by Terry, which occurs to me, he's not treating people anymore. So he's retired from being an MD. Next question is from Eric Sofields in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he's asked me this question a number of times. I'm probably going to squeeze it in. It has to do with seeing sequential numbers, like looking at a clock, and it's always, I'm going to read it exactly. Just want to make a thing that there's certain things that happen in our reality system that kind of give credence to this idea that as solid as our system looks, it really isn't. It's made up of frequencies and multi-dimensions that are all coming together to give this grand illusion of solidity. They're passing through timelines. They're passing through sacred geometrical things. And sometimes some of you may have had an experience where you think of something and then it happens, or you think of a phrase and then it plays on the radio. It's like those are signs that you are starting to operate in higher holograms, even through your physical body. And so this question has come up before, but I'll ask it again, particularly since it's for Eric. And I keep seeing sequential numbers, 1111, 222, 333, 455, on and on and on. What sort of synchronicity is all of this? And what are the high, he says the rock group, but I'm just going to say, what are the higher realms trying to tell me? How should I interpret it? Thank you.
Thank you. We see that you are becoming more aware on a deeper level of how things operate. For instance, the Fibonacci sequence of numbers are used in the building of manifest reality. So you are becoming aware of the underlying geometrical and mathematical keys within the universe. As you see the numbers, it can have to do with your tracking at a subconscious level timelines, so that you may see 11-11-11, and it may be that you are tracking our cutting into a number which is to do with the monthly organization of time. As you become more and more aware, you may experience this farther. Let this happen and enjoy it and see where the synchronistic view of numbers underlying manifest reality will take you.
Thank you. Moving right along, Cecil Jepson. We had asked a question a couple weeks ago about Cecil's grandson, Isaac Winder, and who was in a hospital in China. And Isaac passed away Sunday morning in Jilin University Hospital in Changchun, China. And Cecil was asking, if it's possible to make a connection, if there was anything that he wishes his family to know that he didn't get a chance to convey as he was in a coma for the last week of his life. And I'm sure Cecil would like to ask to make a connection with him on the other side, if from you guys, to if he's open to it, to ease any of his passage. Thank you.
Thank you. He is not fully realized that his body has passed. He is there, and he as a being, and he is still in the throes of the disease that he died from. He needs to gradually wake out of that situation as a spirit. You can help by sending him love, talking with him, telling him you care, telling him that he is loved. He is still in the unconscious state of awareness, and it may be a while before he can regain control of his own awareness.
Thank you. Question from Anne Von Trigg. Vantrigt in Bel Air, Maryland. I feel confused because I still have emotional, because of our two daughters, and financial ties to my ex-husband, divorced for 15 years. I feel unclear how to burst forth from this old energy and transform my own life into something magnificent for myself and in service to others. Thank you.
Thank you. Within your own environment, you have many strings to the past. The things, the possessions that you own, the things that you shared, the memories that are there. It takes time to let the memories be replaced with new situations, new life, new enjoyment. Do not expect it suddenly to change. As you let go of the old strings of attachment, then you can develop new strings of attachment to new situations. You can help your daughters with this also, to look to the present and bring them into new situations that they will enjoy, see where their interests lie, and see what projects and what information you can bring new into your life to bring their excitement up. When they become excited in new possibilities, that will also help you shift. When you see that you are sitting in the old energy, do not be discouraged because you have merely moved back into the energy of the past. You can set up new energies that you can move into and will eventually crowd out those past things that do not go anywhere anymore.
A question about this is, if someone has someone that they've been close to that is deceased, is it good to get rid of the possessions, or is it good to keep the possessions to hold a good memory towards them, which maybe they feel on the other side?
If you have a positive attitude, for instance, you have a love of something that the person that has passed away also has a love of, and you can add your energy to their energy, then it is good to keep it. If it is going to become a dead issue sitting in the corner that you don't really like or care for and can't add your energy to the energy of the love of the other person for it, then it would be good to find a home for it where the new people will take joy in the possession of that treasure that the other person left behind.
Thank you. This is from Don Herman. Don, I'm just going to ask your first question right now, and even any of you can resubmit questions and keep submitting them. Unless I tell you, I'm not going to ask that question ever. Resubmit it, because if it's really important to get the answer, resubmitting it just increases your level of intention, and I will get to it. Okay? Don Herman says, could you offer some insight and guidance into the cause and solutions to any of my unhelpful patterns, which may be causing me problems? Thank you. And he didn't ask, but I think implicit in the question is he's saying, are there unconscious patterns that he may not be aware of that he can work on? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. We suggest that you take a look at your life and see if there is an area of dissatisfaction that you may not be getting all that you wish out of a certain area. The symptoms of an area or a pattern that is not working is that it does not totally jive with the present-day surroundings, with the present-day life, with the present-day relationships with other people. And this can be a handle towards moving into that area and seeing what it is that you can make better. If it is a recurring disharmony, this is a strong symptom that there is something something in that area that you, within your own attitudes and your own framework, could change that would bring you better outcomes. It is often stemming out. One thing stands out into more than one area of your life and slows you down. And it is a whole, and it all works together, and you can unwind the areas of disharmony. And observation is your best tool to see and learn what it is that you can make more optimal. Often there is an incident in a child's life which sets them up with a belief pattern, that they may not be good at a certain thing. And they believed it because the parents are the teacher. And one would think that the parents love you and are giving you the very best advice, even if it is something that ultimately is detrimental, because the belief system that one cannot do a certain thing or is challenged in certain ways can slow a person down where they don't look in that area anymore to try even. And it can spread relevance out through their whole life of areas that could be better but are not because of that belief.
Thank you. We are at our time, and Mel Woodard, you have a great question. Be sure and ask it next week. I wanted to fit that in, and I didn't, okay? And Wanda Ecker asked about Grottos. You can ask it again. You know, it's one of the, I like to ask the questions that can help people in their lives, and that's just kind of a bit of all kinds of worldly information about it, but I'll ask it one day. And Rich Buckley, was that Rich Buckley in Livermore? The question about Half Dome, ask it again. I know you've asked it before. And let me see here. And Brian asked a question about the CERN collider. I don't know if I'll ask that or not, okay? You can try it. I'm not sure. You know, I think the answer to your question is I think not. But, you know, a better question is something like that, a portal to anything that's being used by any negative source. That would be a let them bring up the source if they want to. Okay, so it's 7:56. We're not over. No, we are over. And thank you all so much. I hope Mike Cushing comes back again. I like that guy. He's really one of the most cheery, uplifted. It's one of the reasons he would sell so well, because he just was so cheery with the public. And I'm glad he listened tonight. And on that note, I'm going to unmute.